The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of The Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to The Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Welcome back to Missing. I'm Tim, here today with Lance. Lance, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic today, Tim. Thank you for asking. I know you're a little under the weather, so I'll ask in return, how are you doing? But I kind of already know.
I'm doing fine. You know what? I'm all hopped up on coffee, so I'm happy to be here. I'm thrilled to get right into it, Lance. This is kind of a new format episode that we're doing. This is now the second attempt that we've done at this, and we're recording this on Tuesday, June 14th. We did have really good reaction from our last episode that we titled Missing News and Elnaz Hajtamiri, but we are considering a different title. I mean, I don't know why it ended up getting called Missing News. Kind of just happened a little bit absentmindedly. I don't think it's terrible, but we're wondering if the audience has a better sort of title for this format. Maybe they can help us out.
Yeah, so to briefly explain, it came together in my head with Missing News, Missing colon News. So that's sort of how I was thinking about it when we were thinking about the title, but it just doesn't seem to have that punch to it. It needs a better hook. So yeah, we're putting it out there to the listeners. This is a segment where we're going to quickly talk about some of the previous episodes. We're going to talk about some current news in the world of missing persons or true crime, and then we're going to button it up with some other talk of that nature. But it's a free form, loose episode is what I'm getting at. So if after a while people are listening and they're like, well, you know what, this rolls off the tongue and the alliteration is good, maybe that would be good enough for a new title. So it's out there to you, the people, the masses.
So we're going to go over some of the recent episodes, and we're going to read some YouTube comments.
YouTube comments. Yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah, from the disappearance of Joshua Stratton, our episode on him, and Daniel Robinson as well, part two with David. But before we get into that, we also want to invite you to check out Missing Premium. You can get bonus episodes, weekly bonus episodes at Missing Premium. It's missing.supportingcast.fm. You also get all of our regular Missing episodes ad-free, and it's just for the price of buying us a cup of coffee a month, Lance.
And we don't drink expensive coffee. We drink mud. So it's not even like, we're not even talking Starbucks here. We're talking Folgers. But anywho, how does this differ from the premium episodes, you might be asking yourself? In addition to those ad-free episodes and the loose banter format, we also have the Hidden Opinions segment of Missings when you sign up for the subscription service. And that's where we give those opinions that are behind the scenes when we are talking about a missing person's story. Because we put out the facts to the best of our ability, we do give a little bit of our feelings. You can kind of hear that in our tone sometimes, but we really take the gloves off in a good way during the Hidden Opinions segment. So that's a treat. I think we all enjoy doing it. And we have our cohort, Jennifer Mell, on usually because she typically speaks with the family members of these missing persons. And she has a lot of insight that doesn't make the public feed that they've told her that just didn't make the public feed because of a time constraint or another reason, but you know, it's something that should be out there.
Yeah, and we like to get her take on the case and what it was like speaking with the folks that she did, because a lot of times she conducts the interviews, the family interviews or law enforcement interviews that are played in the missing episodes. And those episodes are the ones that have come in via private investigations for the missing. And you can check out what they do at investigationsforthemissing.org. It is the nonprofit that Bruce Maitland founded. And Lance, you and I are on the board of it. And it is a fantastic organization, and they're constantly looking for donations. So please, you can donate. Check out investigationsforthemissing.org.
And where do your donations go? Well, they go towards the funding of expenses that our private investigators need in order to visit with family members, conduct searches. As much as we'd like to say that this doesn't come with a price tag, it does. You need to stay in a hotel or, in Greg Overacker's case, a cheap motel that you need to lock the door with a padlock. You need to eat lunch at some point. And in Greg Overacker's case, it's typically a convenience store hot dog. So it's not a lot of money. But, you know, some of these investigators, they do charge an hourly rate. It's discounted for us. So it goes to that as well. So it's all for a good cause. These families don't have the means to hire, you know, the Pinkerton Detective Agency. You know, we need to get the best of the best on our team. And in order to do that, we need your donation. So there, that's my spiel.
Fantastic. And Lance, we are hitting the road this August. We are traveling. We are joining True Crime Obsessed and Pulitzer Prize winner Maggie Freeling on the road. We're heading to Orlando, West Palm Beach, Atlanta, St. Paul, Dallas, and Houston in the month of August. Lance, I cannot wait for this tour.
Yeah, I can't say it enough how just humbled I am that they included us, True Crime Obsessed, included us in their first mini tour. And it's going to be a whirlwind. Basically, you arrive and you watch as we're roasted, you, Maggie, myself. They feature us in the Disappearance of Maura Murray, the docuseries that appeared on Oxygen, the six-part docuseries. Plus, they show some clips from our independent docuseries, Finding Maura Murray, and it's a roast. It's a roast. It's all done in good humor. And basically sign us up, we'll sit there and we'll laugh and we'll contribute to the conversation when the doorway opens up for us to speak.
Yeah, my face typically hurts after these shows because of how much we're laughing. And Patrick Hines from True Crime Obsessed is on this tour with us. However, Jillian Pensavale is not going to join this particular tour, these six dates, but you should come anyway. This is going to be an absolute blast. Check it out at truecrimeobsessed.com/c-us-live, or you can just simply go to truecrimeobsessed.com and get your tickets there. Okay, now we wanted to read some comments from one of our latest episodes. It's an episode that was released on June 2nd, 2022. It's about the disappearance of Joshua Stratton from Alvo, Nebraska on June 20th, 2018. And in that episode, Josh's mom, Wendy Guida, appears as well. And this is a really sort of an unknown case. And I've kind of been shocked by the amount of comments that have come in from people who have actually known Josh.
Do you remember a story that we've covered that had this many comments from friends and family members? I mean, it's a handful of them that will get YouTube comments that are from family members and friends, but this is one that for a town, I guess, you know, he was in this small village community. It wasn't even like registered as a town. So maybe it does resonate a little louder when you're the area that you grew up in only has like almost just 200 people and everyone knows everyone. But I was incredibly impressed by the amount of people who listened, knew him, and took the time to make these comments on YouTube that are really, really useful and helpful and open door policy to anybody who wants to jump on a Zoom with us for a couple of minutes just to talk about Josh. I would love to put together like a compilation of people talking about their friend Josh or their nephew Josh.
Absolutely. Here's one comment from Trust and Obey. They say, Josh used to walk 10 miles through the country from his house to my house. He would carry a giant piece of rebar just in case he ran into a chupacabra. Claims he shot one out on his dad's farm back in the day. His story never changed. I miss that dude.
Breaks my heart. I love that that is a story that just resonated with this individual. That he wasn't saying it in a way to make fun of him or poke fun at him. He was saying it because it was a quirky, fun moment that he shared with him. And we know that Josh suffers from schizophrenia. And he was known for doing these types of activities. And this, again, breaks my heart that he wraps it up by saying, I miss that dude.
And Jenny here in the comments says, Josh and Andy were friends of mine. We would love to know what happened to Josh. And he is not into cosplay, which is something that we mentioned in the episode because he wore chainmail. She says he is schizophrenic and wore those items because he thought they protected him. And she goes on and mentions some theories, some sort of interesting theories. And the comment section kind of got, there might have been some arguing. I think there is some blaming going on a little bit in the comments here. Someone who goes by the name JWILS52 says, the Stratton boys are my nephews. You all need to hold off on your opinions about Andy. Details are not public, and the family has learned info I won't share here. The case is being investigated by the state police. And I think he's talking about the comment section, not necessarily us. We didn't really share many opinions of Andy in the episode at all. Andy is Josh's brother. Andrew was killed by police in the basement of his dad's house, and now I believe that instance is being investigated by the state police. Not necessarily connected to Joshua's disappearance, but sort of complicates the entire story of Joshua's disappearance.
Yeah, and I just want to say that we totally appreciate the comments from JWILS52. I guess it's not clear whether this is an aunt or an uncle, right? It's not clear on that, but we totally appreciate the heads up that we need to hold off on our opinions about Andy. If you knew, nothing thrills me more to read something like that, knowing that someone knows something and they give us a heads up instead of letting us go off on a tangent, which we sometimes do, and then you have to backtrack and make corrections. Knowing that we have to hold off on Andy, totally cool. If this person wants to reach out to us and give us a little bit more information, we're not really asking for anything that we don't need or that we shouldn't have any access to. That's totally fine. But again, want to just say, like, we appreciate that comment. If there's anything you want to say further, feel free to get in touch with us via our website and email address. And that email address is missing@crawlspacepodcast.com. Another comment that I wanted to highlight is this one by JD. JD writes, Hunter Paxson is my nephew. Hunter didn't just up and decide to commit suicide. The sheriff and his investigation is a joke in Lancaster County. This is one which references two other deaths that happened in that same area around that same time that we speak about. Brandon Bean Retzliff and Hunter Paxson. So Hunter was 19 years old when he died on Monday, October 13th, 2018. He was in college seeking a doctorate in psychology. Super smart guy. He founded the Midwest Friends Against Bullying, which was a group, a support group that had over 800 members. He was on the autism spectrum, won a state speech in 2015. He was found in Lancaster County, and the cause of death was suicide. it's a suspicious death that we put in there with Retzlaff's death as well, and did that, I think, to highlight the area and the communal state of mind.
Yeah, just, you know, there's Joshua's disappearance, and there's three deaths that, you know, Andrews, we essentially know what happened, that he was shot by police. We don't know the specifics about what happened in that basement. But these other two deaths were, I believe, considered suicides, but I think the families will disagree with that.
Correct. And the reason why I bring that up is because there is another comment on YouTube from Jess Helwidge, who says, "I'm Hunter Paxson's mom. I'd love to speak with you. We would love to speak with you as well. And you can email us at missing@crawlspacepodcast.com.
And we got some comments on Daniel Robinson's episode, part two, with David Robinson, Daniel's dad. That came out on June 9th, 2022, and we wanted to highlight some comments there. Cosmic Shy wrote, "Mr. Robinson is always the sweetest, calmest, most driven, and respectful man. There's no doubt he raised an exceptional son, and I pray that he is delivered back to him soon."
And Gary Jones has a comment here, which is, in a sense, a little bit of a criticism, and we appreciate it. He writes, "Not a word about his pizza delivery job," and he means Daniel's pizza delivery job, "and him being told off by the girl for not leaving her alone. And he can't have mental health problems because he was a brilliant young man." That is the counter to David saying that he was incredibly smart and driven, so he couldn't have had, I mean, it doesn't say it in these exact words, but it was the implication that he couldn't have had mental health problems because he was brilliant. And Gary says, "Sad, but Dad doesn't want to see the whole picture. In his eyes, he was perfect and wouldn't lower himself to deliver pizza or want a girl and have mental health issues. He'll never accept anything but someone else's fault." But then there's some comments back and forth, and Gary isn't just blindly accusing. He says, he replies down here and says, "Can't blame him, though. It's his boy. He won't ever accept it was on him." So you get it. Like, Gary gets it, and I think, personally, I don't know what you feel, how you feel about this, but it feels like he wants to present the whole picture. That it might not have anything to do with it, but he's looking for the whole picture.
Well, I think that's his experience. Based on David's experience, I don't think he believes Daniel was experiencing any mental health difficulties. He said the specifics he was told about that don't really ring true or ring like their actual mental health disruptions, I guess. He says he spoke with Daniel often and would have heard if he was in trouble or experiencing some real difficulties. So I understand it from his dad's point of view, and I also understand it from the commenter's point of view. I think when you're a parent or an advocate for a missing person, it's really tough what matters, right? What should be out there? Like, if David does know more about, you know, Daniel suffering from mental health troubles, should he put it out there? You know, I mean, I think that's something that advocates and family members consider and think about themselves before discussing, because that could be a very slippery slope for someone in their position. All of a sudden, police might say, "Well, he was going to hurt himself. That's it. We're not going to invest the time in looking." I mean, we've seen essentially this same kind of thing, but years later, in Maura Murray's case, we've kind of looked back on it having happened, where Fred and the police were sort of arguing about whether or not Maura was experiencing mental difficulties when she went missing.
Yeah, absolutely. And none of us can put ourselves in the position of a family member, especially a father, when speaking about the disappearance of your son that isn't even a year old and having to navigate your words so carefully when you're speaking publicly, and then having to navigate them not only so that the public can interpret them the way you want them to be interpreted, but you can't say anything that will harm the investigation. So for all we know, and this is totally hypothetical, for all we know, David was well aware of Daniel's mental health issues and was seeking to get him help. But there could be something that he cannot say because of the investigation, which we know is delicate, which we know he's begging the police to do things, and they sort of half do them, and he has to go and conduct searches on his own and raise money on his own to find his son. So there's a balance that he's trying to walk. There's a line he's trying to walk, and it's public opinion and police investigation. And again, it's so fresh. And you just reminded me of that when you mentioned how Fred Murray had said that she probably walked into the woods, that a lot was going on in her life and she probably walked into the woods. That's just off the cuff comment. You know, who knows why someone grieving or in a mental state looking for your son or daughter would say that. It's not anything that we should gravitate to and hold on to for the long, like in the long term.
Yeah, and I think we did our job by asking David about it in a very broad way, and you know, he can answer however he wants. And I did like Fabiola's response to Gary. She goes on a little bit, but she says here, "I see what you're saying, but I can also see how mentioning the additional job leads to reporters asking questions that may push a narrative in the direction of a girl who could be relentlessly harassed by thousands of people at the very least." And she goes on, there's some dialogue in the comments there, but I think she makes a great point too, because we have no idea. Like, we, you know, as we discussed on Hidden Opinions, Lance, we're kind of new to the whole pizza angle or what that means. You know, really all we know of what is what we've researched ourselves and what we've heard from David directly. And I follow his lead with that.
Yes, absolutely. There's, again, so many things that are going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And I guess our mission initially with anybody that we talk about is to present, again, the facts as best we can. And we have the father on who's conducting his own searches and really running his own investigation. You have to take that on some level as being as legit as you can without it going like right to law enforcement. And the point of David driving home, hey, this person doesn't have anything to do with it, really could simply be what is being talked about here in the comments. It could be, don't bring somebody into it who necessarily doesn't have to be brought into this and then subject them to all of this when they didn't ask for it in the first place, and it probably has nothing to do with anything. And police are probably looking into it.
You'd hope so, yeah. And for more information on that, please check out pleasehelpfinddaniel.com.
And we'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsors.
Step into the hidden corridors of the past with Hometown History, where every episode uncovers the untold stories and secrets nestled in the streets and alleys of our own backyards. We bring history to life, revealing the extraordinary in the ordinary, from local legends to forgotten tales that shape the communities we know today. Tune in to Hometown History and embark on a journey through time, right from where you are. Gather round, friend, and join me by the fire. I have a secret to share. When I was a child, I lived with my grandma. She allowed me to watch unsolved mysteries. Fast forward to 2008, my freshman year of college. A series of armed robberies on campus escalated into a serial rapist's reign of terror. That's when I created my first crime podcast. In January 2014, I picked up the podcast again from my college roommate who fell for an underage girl online, to the chilling story of a murdered nun in 1969 Baltimore, and in the Throwaway series, I share my own journey of overcoming homelessness and how that experience led me to unmask a serial killer and identify three of his Jane Doe victims. This is Foul Play Crime Series, where the stories are real and the truth is waiting to be discovered.
Do you find yourself captivated by the inexplicable, entranced by enigmas, and tantalized by the unknown? We are Shane and Josh Waters, brothers who will weave you through tales that have mystified us for years. From haunted hotels to inexplicable disappearances,
our episodes offer you a panoramic view of the world's greatest mysteries, leaving no stone unturned, no clue unnoticed.
With a gripping narrative, we invite you to join us on a journey into realms of the unexplained.
We're unraveling the mysteries that have perplexed humanity for ages.
So, armchair detectives, curious minds, and seekers of the strange, it's time to put on your headphones and dim the lights.
Dive into the uncanny world of the Mystery Inc. podcast and prepare for a journey into the unknown that you'll never forget. And remember, some mysteries are better left unsolved, but not unexplored.
Thanks to our sponsors, and now we're back to the program. All right, Lance, for our news segment today, we wanted to highlight a really wild case, and it's about the fight for justice for Livy Lewis. Livy Lewis was 19 when she was murdered by her ex-boyfriend, Matthew Edgar, who was 25, and that happened on October 31st in 2020 in Hemphill, Texas.
And this was brought to our attention by a previous guest that we had on, Jody Voice Yellowfish. She had sent us a link that was titled Murder Victim's Family Fights for Justice as Murder Suspect is Still at Large. And Tim, we were talking about this before. This is absolutely mind-blowing how this person is still at large and missing. And God, where to even start on this? So he essentially admitted to killing Livy Lewis. He was found in the fetal position with blood on him. There was the shotgun. They asked him where she was, where Libby was. He said dead. And through some loophole, and we're going to need a little bit of clarification from people who know more about this. All of the articles that we've read on this, Edgar's bond was reduced to $50,000 because Edgar was not indicted within 90 days of his arrest. And that was according to the Sabine County District Attorney's Office. So somewhere along the lines...
So they arrested him and didn't charge him.
Charged him. He posted bond because they waited, for whatever reason, 90 days, 3 months to indict him, which allowed them to lower the bond to $50,000, which apparently he posted, and then... didn't show up on his third day of court. Listen to this. In the meantime, the mother, Darcy Bass, runs into him in a store. And understandably enough, she's filled with rage upon seeing him and throws things at him, yells at him, throws things at his car, and he has the audacity to get her arrested.
Right. Oh, okay. So I see. So that happened before the trial started.
Yes.
Right. I can't believe it. And so that part happened back in December where she kind of, I guess, lost her temper at the store. First of all, this guy facing murder charges and later convicted on murder charges and sentenced to 99 years in prison. Like, why is this guy on the street at this point? Why is he able to go home after day one and, or I guess day two of his murder trial in which he was eventually found guilty, but he just didn't show up to day three because he was out on bond?
What is going on in Sabine County?
And he's still out there. He's still missing.
He's still out there.
He has
there.
Been sentenced to 99 years and he is still a wanted fugitive as of this recording on June 14th, 2022.
And again, the brazenness and audacity of him to file charges on the mother for assault caused by bodily injury, retaliation, and criminal mischief. That's the detail of the file that he charged against the mom. The absolute slap in the face. And I'm blown away that more people aren't talking about this.
Yeah, it's wild. I wonder how many days they actually did end up charging him. Like, was it 91? Like, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I know that's the rule, that, you know, that's the law about the 90. You got 90 days once you arrest somebody and you're apparently going to charge them for murder.
What was happening in the meantime?
Well, I guess they were dragging their feet in the investigation. It seems pretty cut and dry. He was found right there in a fetal position and had essentially admitted to it. It was unclear to me if it was in text or what, but he did say that that Livy was dead. This seems like a cut and dry case. I don't know why it took more than 90 days to actually file these charges.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And we have been having some communication by way of Jody, voice Yellowfish, and Darcy. And eventually we will have Darcy on the show. Understandably, she's very overwhelmed at the moment and really isn't doing anything on a public level as far as like an in-depth conversation is concerned. But once she's ready to come on, we're going to have her on. There'll be more details given about why he's out there, what happened at the store, what happened to Livy, and maybe let's try to find this dude. Let's try to get your shit together over there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would love it if everyone shared his photo and we can do some social media posts about this, but this guy being free at this point is not really acceptable. Especially what happened with that other escaped prisoner in Texas only recently where he killed a family.
And real quick, I want to give a quote here by Darcy. She says, "I'm not going to stop." This is a quote that she gave to KPLC-TV. She says, "I'm not going to stop. There's going to be justice for my daughter. I know she's fine, but while I'm out here suffering, he needs to suffer too. If y'all see him, don't kill him. Just call it in." And there is also a link. If you'd like to support Livy Lewis's case, you can donate to the Livy Lewis Memorial Scholarship at Livy Lewis, that's LIVYELEWIS, memorialscholarship.com.
Okay, everybody. And coming up later this week, we've got Pulitzer Prize winner Maggie Freeling on the show.
I love saying that.
Me too. We definitely we have lots of Pulitzer material for Maggie at the beginning of that episode. It's really just constant jokes. I feel like if a friend of ours has some great achievement, we have to, like, the only way we can deal with it is by sort of poking fun.
Oh yeah, I mean, and also we're pretty overtly jealous.
And then, Lance, coming up the following week is Bill Thomas, our friend Bill Thomas from Mind Over Murder. That's a show that is on the Crawlspace Media Network. He hosts that with his friend Kristen Dilley. He speaks about the Colonial Parkway murders and, of course, his sister's case, Kathy Thomas. And, Lance, that's going to be a two-parter. And it's a great conversation, and we keep it light in the beginning when we're talking about Bill having gone missing at CrimeCon in Las Vegas, which was kind of a blip in the weekend. But when you fully unpack it, it was really hilarious to me, at least.
Yeah, it's I don't want to bury the lead here, but the disappearance of Bill Thomas as unpacked on this show is well worth the listen. There was no question that we were going to go into a two-parter from the jump. The second we started, we knew this was going to be a two-parter. We needed to unpack the disappearance of Bill Thomas at CrimeCon in Las Vegas because it played out almost like a Coen Brothers movie, just a comedy of errors. And poor Rebecca Sebastian was just a wreck, and Bill just waltzes in. What's wrong? I don't understand. So you got to listen to it. Lots going on in that conversation.
All right, everybody, thanks a lot for listening. Check out the links in the show notes. Check out everything we're doing at Crawlspace Media at crawlspace-media.com, and give us a 5-star review while you're at it.
Yeah, why don't you, if your cursor's hovering over the 4th star or the 3rd star, just push it. Just push it a little bit over to the right. Just push it a little. It's not even like much effort physically to do so. And we're considering doing these live, so we want to get your feedback on that. If these shows might play out better in a live environment. So there's that to consider as well. Anywho, we've gone on long enough. Let's wrap her up.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We will see you later this week.